my seat is. I know what's going to unfold. I know the order of service. I know that at 10:30 on the dot, Pastor Tim will stop speaking, and then afternoon. And so we all know these things. We like to feel comfortable with where we're at. Part of the reason it's set up the way it is today, church, is obviously it made it easier after last night, not having to put the tables away and all that went with last night. But there was also a sense in which today is in part about feeling maybe a little uncomfortable. And not just uncomfortable for uncomfortable's sake, but for us to really be prepared in our hearts to let the Spirit of God really speak into where we're at in our Christian walk. I think sometimes we don't want to actually have to face those challenges sometimes. And so, as it says right on the front of the bulletin today, I have this desire that the events of today will cause you to have your Christian experience challenged, strengthened, and enriched in a new way. As we have said over the last few weeks, today's video is a challenging video. There are some aspects of it that will be very confronting, and I sort of say that up front because you need to be aware of that. At the same time, after we've watched the video, there's going to be opportunity for you to make some responses. If somebody is feeling as though after that point in time they would like to go through the waters of baptism, there's going to be an opportunity for you to share why you want to do that and what has led you to that point. Do you know, I often hear it said, you know, why should I have to be baptized? It's a phrase that I've heard many times over. And quite simply, I want to say, no one has to be baptized. No one has to be baptized. It's simply, if you want to use a phrase, it's God's love language. It's what God's put in place, where he simply said a way in which we as people can respond to God and let him know that we love him. That's why we get baptized. It's not because someone says we should or because we're in a Baptist church. It's a way in which we can speak and show our love for our God. And that's why we have baptism. And so that opportunity will be given, and if there are people who are taking that step today, then they'll have an opportunity to share what that means for them. And to be fair, I recognise that there may well be people who haven't necessarily come prepared for that today, but we are. Okay, so we've got towels and all sorts of things here ready to go, so we are ready. If God challenges your heart and you want to respond in that way, then we can certainly help make you feel a little more comfortable. You know, you'll still feel wet, but you'll feel a little more comfortable. And so people have a chance to share, and then we'd like to give people a chance to get ready if they'd like to, take the shoes and socks off and watches off and all those sort of things. And in that time between people sharing that why they're wanting to be baptised and when the baptisms take place, we're going to give everyone else an opportunity to respond to God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then today we would like to give you that opportunity. At the same time, if you know that you have been walking the Christian journey for a long time, but you don't ever remember a time in your experience when you said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need the forgiveness of your Saviour, and I want to make you Lord of my life. If you've never had a chance to say that, then on this day, the 23rd of July, 2017, wouldn't it be great to say, I know a time when I actually said it. And I know beyond all doubt that I'm saved and free to live my life as a child of God, not just today, but for all eternity. That's what today is about. And I trust that as you view this video today, it will really challenge your Christian experience and that you'll be enriched by it all. Let's pray together before we hear the video. Dear Father, I can't help but express, and I don't know how to put it in words, but I really believe that you are wanting to do
a special work in people's lives today. And Father, I just pray that we won't be stubborn, and we won't be people who are hard-hearted towards you. I pray that we will be a people who respond in ways that bring glory to you. Father, I want to thank you in advance for the way in which you have left us with this love response that we can make to you. You gave us baptism. And as we've said, Father, we know that you are not going to demand that of anyone. It's not going to be a big stick that says you have to do this. But it just puts a joy in your heart. As we're willing to be a little bit embarrassed, willing to get a little bit out of our comfort zone, just to let everyone know and everyone see that we love you from the very depths of our being. Father, call us to make appropriate responses. And we allow you by your Spirit to touch our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
found that saints are rats like me. I was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Grandma, what's grace?
It's amazing, huh? It's amazing.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know the main problem I have with God's plan to save the world? He makes it a gift that is for anyone and everyone who would accept it. He gives this incredible gift to people who don't deserve it, and it's just not fair. Isn't there something within you that is just annoyed when someone gets something really great that they've done nothing to deserve? To be honest, this is one of the reasons I don't like these game shows where people make more money than my annual income by spinning a giant wheel, clapping, and shouting, "Big money, big money." That's not entertainment. That's injustice. It would be entertaining to me if instead of a game show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, we had a game show called Lose Your Inheritance, where really wealthy people who had done nothing to earn their fortune would come on, and the only thing they could do is lose money. I'd watch that show. Or what about a show called Extreme Make Under, where guys would bring in their beautiful girlfriends, their girlfriends that are much better looking than them, for a make under so they could have the kind of girlfriend they deserve, and they could yellow her teeth and rat out her hair, and for the big reveal they could bring her out in a sweatsuit with like some mustard on it and a trucker's cap. I'd watch that show. Isn't there something within you that is just annoyed when someone gets something great they haven't earned, they've done nothing to deserve? And yet that's true for all of us. Because of our sin, the Bible says we deserve death, but God has given us an incredible gift. About in the Bible named Barabbas. To be honest, we know very little about him. All that we know about his entire existence can probably be summed up in a sentence. Here are all the words we have describing him: a notorious prisoner, an insurrectionist, which really means a terrorist, and a thief. Do you get the picture? He's the bad guy. This is someone you want to see get what's coming to him in the end. If you're watching a movie about his life, what keeps you going is the thought that in the end, he's going to get nailed. His crimes were politically motivated. He led revolts and terrorist attacks against the Roman authority, and he received the death penalty for his crimes. And when Jesus was on trial for his life, Barabbas was sitting on death row. But on the day Jesus died, the life of Barabbas would completely change. Let me tell you about that day in his life. By the time we read about Barabbas, Jesus is standing before Pilate for what will be his sixth and final trial before he is crucified. By this time, the Roman ruler Pilate has tried a number of maneuvers to get off the hook with Jesus. None of them have worked. His wife had a dream the night before and warned her husband, "Don't let the blood of this innocent man be on your hands." But Pilate was in a difficult situation. If he didn't go along with the Jewish leaders and have Jesus crucified, then there could be a riot and a rebellion. If word got back to Rome that he could no longer maintain control of the Jews, he would be in danger of losing his position as governor. So, instead of sentencing Jesus to death, Pilate has Jesus flogged. Surely this would be enough to appease the crowd. For flogging, the soldiers would use a whip of braided leather thongs with metal balls and pieces of sharp bone woven into them. Jesus would have been beaten to the edge of his life. The whipping would have focused not just on the back, but actually from the shoulders all the way down the back of the legs. Not only would his flesh have been torn, but so would the underlying muscles, even to the point of exposing bone. And now Jesus stands before the crowd, beaten to the edge of death. Surely this will be punishment enough, Pilate thinks, but it is not. And again, the people call for his execution. Pilate has one last idea, one more card to play. Matthew 27 explains that this time of the year, during Passover, it was the custom of the Roman ruler to release one of the Jewish prisoners. No matter what they had done, no matter how overwhelming the evidence, they would be set free. And he thinks of this as his way out. And so he stands before the crowd and he says to them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus or Barabbas?" Surely they would not want to have Barabbas released. They wouldn't want this notorious criminal back on the street. And so he says, "Which one do you want to have released?" But they all shout back, "Barabbas, Barabbas." And then he asks, "What should I do with Jesus?" And they all respond, "Crucify him, crucify him." During this exchange between Pilate and the people, Barabbas was imprisoned at the fortress of Antonia. It was where all the prisoners were kept in ancient Jerusalem. And when Jesus stands before Pilate, we read in John 19 that Jesus was brought out to a place called the pavement. This was an elevated area paved with stones just outside the palace where Pilate stayed when he was in Jerusalem. So here's the question. How far was the pavement from the prison where Barabbas was being kept? Well, it was about 2,000 feet away, a little less than a half mile. Too far away for him to hear what Pilate was saying to the crowd, but plenty close enough for him to hear what the crowd was shouting back at Pilate. So from his prison cell, Barabbas would have heard his name being shouted, "Barabbas, Barabbas." He wouldn't have heard Pilate say, "What should we do with Jesus?" But he would have heard the crowd shout back, "Crucify him, crucify him." From his cell, he would have heard, "Barabbas, crucify him." He sits in his cold, dark prison cell. His heart begins to pound faster and faster as he hears the Roman soldiers approaching. He thinks to himself, this is it. Stripped naked, nailed to a tree, left to die the worst death imaginable. And knowing what kind of man he was, he probably said to himself, "I'm not going down without a fight." The door to his cell slams open. They grab Barabbas. He struggles with them, fighting as they take him out of the prison. And then he hears these words, "You're free to go." There is no question that Barabbas is guilty. And yet this murdering terrorist thief is set free. Now just to be clear, he did nothing to earn this. He didn't beg for it. He didn't even ask for it. He didn't promise atonement or guarantee good behavior in the future. All he did was accept it. Barabbas, this notorious prisoner, was completely and utterly undeserving. Does that sound familiar? It should. Because for you and me, there is nothing we have done or could do to deserve the gift that God has given us. Like Barabbas, Jesus has died in our place so that we could be saved and experience freedom. Sin had doomed us to eternal separation from God. And God saw us at our worst. He loved us, and He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die in our place, to take our punishment upon Himself so that we could be saved. Like Barabbas, there's nothing we could do to deserve it or earn it. All we need to do is accept it. Well, that's as far as our story goes. Barabbas is never mentioned in Scripture again. We really don't know how he responded to this undeserved gift of life. As I studied about Barabbas, I discovered that many people like to speculate about what happened to him. They like to imagine how the story may have ended, think about different ways it could have gone. Could we do that for a few minutes? Could we just imagine what may have happened in his life after he was released from prison? How do you think he responded to this undeserved gift of life? Maybe we can imagine Barabbas as someone who is given this incredible gift, but refuses it. He's so guilt-ridden over the innocent man who has died in his place that he turns himself into the Roman authorities and insists on paying for his crimes. He insists on serving his sentence. He's the prisoner who's set free, but he insists on staying in his cell. His chains are taken off, but he insists that they be put back on. Now, that might seem too far-fetched to imagine, a death row inmate refusing a pardon. But think about it. Lots of people refuse God's gift of freedom and forgiveness today. I think people refuse this gift for a lot of different reasons, but one reason is that it seems too good to be true. Did you see the report on the Today Show where H&R Block offered their walk-in customers a chance to win a drawing for $1 million? Glenn and Gloria Sims from Sewell, New Jersey won the drawing, but when representatives called to tell them the good news, they refused to believe it. After several more attempts to contact them by phone and by mail, the Sims still thought it was some sort of joke or scam, and so they'd throw the letters away, they'd hang up the phone. After several weeks of this, H&R Block called to say that the deadline for accepting this prize was quickly approaching, and that the story of their refusal to take the $1 million would be on the Today Show on NBC. Mr. Sims decided to investigate further, and a few days later, he appeared on the Today Show to tell America that he and his wife would receive the $1 million. And here's what he said on the show. From the beginning, H&R Block has wanted a happy ending to all of this, and they were ecstatic when we finally accepted the prize. I know it seems too good to be true, but Jesus gave his life so that you could receive an incredible gift. He patiently waits for you to accept it. He's tried to get your attention. He's sent you messages. And he would be thrilled if you would receive it. Maybe others refuse this free gift from God because they feel too guilty. You understand that we were all designed to thirst after a relationship with God, and you believe that Jesus is the living water that could ultimately satisfy all your deepest longings. And maybe we even know people who've accepted this gift of God and have seen just how dramatically it's transformed their lives. But when you hear me describe the offer of forgiveness and the love that Jesus offers, you think, not after what I've done. Or maybe you refuse this gift, not because you feel too guilty, but because you feel pretty good about yourself. It's hard to save someone if they don't even know they're drowning. and you compare yourself to the people around you and you think, you know what? I'm not doing too bad. But this may seem more likely. Maybe after receiving such an undeserved gift, Barabbas tried to earn it. And he tried to do enough good, and he tried to be good enough. He tried to be worthy, and his life becomes driven by this duty to pay back what was done for him. Do you remember the movie Saving Private Ryan? The movie begins when a group of Rangers are given the mission to go deep into enemy territory and save Private Ryan. His three brothers had all been killed in battle, and as the only surviving son, he was to be brought back home to safety. Well, when they finally find Ryan, they discover there is one last battle that has to be fought before he can be brought back home. And in this battle, most of the Rangers die. In fact, the captain of the Rangers is shot. He lies on a bridge dying, and Ryan comes running over to him, to this man who had sacrificed everything for his freedom. And Ryan leans in close, and the last words this captain would speak were these two: "Earn this." And then he died. As the movie ends, Ryan is pictured as an old man. And he's visiting the cemetery with his wife, his kids, and his grandkids. It's a veteran's cemetery, and he walks over to the gravesite of the captain who died that day. And he begins to feel the weight of those final two words. And he wonders, has he earned the sacrifice that was made for him? Every religious system except Christianity is based on this idea that you have to earn it. And people are attracted to that. They have to do something. And all the other major religions teach that you must get yourself together. You must do something. Pray 5 times a day, give alms, fast, take a pilgrimage, use a prayer wheel, not eat certain foods, observe the Sabbath, or one of innumerable other possibilities. And if you do all these things, then maybe you will work your way to nirvana or heaven or God or wherever it is. A Reader's Digest article told of a 67-year-old man named Bill who had donated over 100 pints of blood. No doubt many people owed their lives to this man's kindness, but I want you to listen to his motivation. He said, "When the final whistle blows and St. Peter meets me at the gate and asks, 'Well, what did you do?' I'll just say I gave 100 pints of blood. But if he thinks giving 100 pints of blood will get him into heaven, then he is trusting in the wrong blood." Just maybe Barabbas humbly accepted this incredible gift. I'd like to think that's the way it happened.
Dead man walking.
Maybe after he was released, he stayed in Jerusalem that day. He didn't run into the hills and hide, but instead, he fell in with the crowd and waited to see the man who would die in his place. He heard the curses and insults of the crowd as they tormented Jesus and thought, "He has done nothing. Their scorn belongs to me." He followed and watched as Jesus carried the heavy wooden cross to a hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And maybe Barabbas said to himself, "That's my cross." He watched as the Roman soldiers hammered the nails through the hands of Jesus, and he instinctively grabbed his own hands and said, those nails were meant for me. He puts his head down and closes his eyes, but he could hear the pounding as the nail was driven through the feet of Jesus. And he opens his eyes as he looks down at his feet and says to himself, "He died in my place." And maybe as he stood near the cross looking up at the Son of God, he thought to himself, the only response to a gift like this is to humbly accept it. And I wonder if that's what happened to Barabbas. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if that's how the story went, but I know that's how the story could go. Because we're all a lot like Barabbas. We were all convicted, facing death, but we were pardoned. Because Jesus died, we can live forever. You know, if Jesus were to whisper two words to you before he died for your freedom, maybe he would whisper, "Accept this. It's foolish to refuse it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Just accept it." Maybe some of you are ready to accept his gift. The great thing about accepting a gift is that you don't have to do anything but receive it.
Hello? What?
Accepting Jesus' gift, we have been born again to a new life. It starts here on earth and then continues into eternity in heaven. So, are you ready to accept this gift? Are you ready to be set free and completely forgiven for everything you've ever done wrong? Are you ready for the power and purpose that comes from having your inner thirst finally and forever quenched? Are you ready for the peace of knowing you'll enjoy eternal life in the company of the one who loved you so much that he gave his life for you? Father, he waits for you with open arms. teach that when one person accepts God's gift, all the angels in heaven celebrate. So, are you ready to come home and be a part of God's eternal family? Are you ready to cause a party to break out in heaven? You've been thinking about making to accept God's free gift to you and to put your faith in Jesus. Now, the Bible teaches this faith is to be expressed in a number of ways, but probably the best place to start is just by having a conversation with God, by saying a prayer. Now, this prayer is not a special prayer that's found in Scripture. It's not some ancient magical formula. It's just you having a conversation with God. And if you're ready to talk to Him about this decision, then you're welcome to just say this prayer with me. Father, I know the way that I've lived and the choices I've made have separated me from you. I know that there's nothing I can do on my own to make things right. But God, I want to have a relationship with you and spend forever with you in heaven. So I confess my sin to you. And God, I ask, would you please forgive me? And I repent of trying to live life without you. And ask, would you become my guide and my father, my friend? I accept the gift that you want to give me through Jesus. I accept his incredible gift of freedom, forgiveness, and eternal life. I accept his living water. I know it's the only thing that will satisfy my thirst. And because, Jesus, you were willing to die in my place, I am willing to live for you. God, you are in charge. I trust you with my life. Thank you for the life that will be mine forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And God, while we are praying, I also want to pray for those who are still trying to figure out if all this is true, if it's something that they want to accept. I pray, God, that you would reveal yourself to them this week in a very clear, a very real way. Would you open their eyes so they could see your incredible love for them and their need for you? Please, God, would you draw them to you? And Lord, for those who have chosen to receive your gift of freedom, thank you. I know that right now there is a great party going on in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to ask the musicians if they would like to play the tune of Amazing Grace just for the next little while. If you found yourself wanting to pray that prayer with him there, the opportunity to accept Jesus, because all he simply says is accept it, then I'd like to give you that opportunity to do that as the music plays. And we might all bow our heads, and you can do that in a number of ways. You can do that right where you're sitting, and that's absolutely fine. But I just ask that maybe you might tell somebody that you've made that decision so that someone can pray with you. But if another tangible way is to maybe come forward and just sit on the seat that's provided at the front here, just so that there's a public stand in which you say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And as I said before, if you've never actually physically had a chance to come forward and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life, and you'd like to do that today, we're not making a declaration that you weren't a Christian before or anything like that, but you just want to make a public stand, then I'd like to give you that opportunity as well. How about we all bow our heads and pray? I'm going to say a short prayer. And then if you want to respond in some way, any way that you feel led to, then I'd encourage you to do that. Father, I want to thank you for the way in which we've so clearly been able to see that we can't earn this gift of salvation. It's just there for us to simply recognise we're sinners and we need a saviour. Father, if you are challenging someone right now, I pray that they will not just stay where they're at, but they will choose to take a stand for you in Jesus' name. Let's continue in an attitude of prayer as we give people an opportunity to respond as they feel led.
This will be probably a kind of a short testimony as well. I think I've said to Tim a few times, I think one of the more outstanding features of Christianity is its consistency. Like it's not spin sensitive, or it's not, they don't worry too much about the ratings. To me, Christianity is the best option out there. Just a quick testimony, I think I can come off the cuff, like it won't take long. I was born into a Christian family when I was 10 or 12 and drug off to church, like a lot of us were. And sat there, listened to the sermon, wishing he'd finish, get on with it, finish so I could get out of the joint, you know. But as the years went by, I felt sort of left school, rushed out into the swinging 60s. I had a ball, you know, drank a lot, gambled a lot. My life was mostly fast women and slow race horses. And but I always had a sense that Jesus was, that God had never given up on me, even from the days of the older people here would remember the days of you went to conversion classes, or what they call them now. You had to confirmation classes, that was your chair. Remember that, guys? You had to go and confirm your the vows, I think it was, that your godparents made for you when baptized. So, and there was, I always had a sense that God was, you know, hang on, Glenn, you know, this, I don't really think this is for you. You know, this is the world. It offers what it offers, but it's not what you need. I just quickly say that to any young person in this church at the moment. I turned 70 this year, by the way. It's been a long walk, and it's been a good walk since I walked into a church in Sydney, probably 30 years ago now, and made a declaration. And yeah, so from then on, it's been observation, but there's more to it than just turning up, sitting in a seat, singing the hymns, even though I enjoy that. I just get a sense that God has still got me in his mind, or it's still thinking, well, Glenn's still there, I'll get him to do something. You know, I'm not, you know, I'll, even if it's just pour the teas. And so yeah, look, that was a great movie. Last week's got me particularly, like that situation that they described last week as played out in 1,000 pubs across Australia every Friday and Saturday night. Don't worry, I've seen it any number of times. And God didn't put us on the earth for that crap. You know, God, to me, put us on the earth for a lot better than that. And I think if anything or anybody that draws your attention to it, draws your attention to what God would like from us, is worth listening to.
Father, I want to thank you for Glenn, and I want to thank you for the openness of just the words he shared. And we see the beauty that you have done in his life, and we want to thank you and praise you for that. And we want to thank you for the beauty that you've done in other people's lives as well.
Week when we watched that video and Tim spoke, and God just said, "Be baptized." I actually was baptized when I was in my early 20s, but I went to an Anglican church, and so I had the normal Anglican baptism, which was a sprinkle. But I was an adult, so I knew what was happening. But I didn't know God in the way I know him now. And I think when we moved up here, I'd been going through a wilderness time. And that's changed. And so last week when I felt God speaking to me, he was just saying, recommit. And that's what I'm doing.
So in just a few moments, it's going to be my great privilege to baptise Vivian. And I don't know, is there anyone else, as this all unfolds, don't feel as though today the opportunity's passed you by. There is an opportunity for you to be baptised as well. And certainly, I would just hate today to go by if that's not something that you need to do as we go through today. So I just encourage you in that. But right now I'm going to enter into the baptismal waters. I'm going to invite you to join me, Vivian, and baptise you. That should be all right.
Baptism, then I'm more than happy for you, as you can see, we're not too formal today. come to appreciate. And Father, there wouldn't be a single person in this room who would question her love for you. And so it's a beautiful moment for us to realize that in this moment she wants to express her love for you through baptism. And so, Father, I pray that this will be a rich moment in her life and an encouragement to others. In Jesus' name. So because of your testimony, because of what you have shared, it is my great privilege to baptize you. In the name of God the Father, His Son,